you know I'm still, still, still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. See, I've learned a lesson from a little lily. It was struggling away beneath the miry clay. Spun by sheer desire, that lily stand up higher. Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battle. To run on all the way, and it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, if God provided for a tiny sparrow, surely He will meet my every need. How can I me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battle. Oh, I'm bound, determined to run on all the way. And it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. You see, the race was not been given to the swift one, but it's for him that will endure till the end. When I press my final round, then I receive my heavenly crown. Makes me press on, makes me press on all the way. Yeah, I said I'm still, still, still pressing my battle. Determined to run on all the way, and it won't be very long till I press my way home. I gotta press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way. Through the storm, through the rain, sickness and pain, I'll press, press, press on. Press on, yeah, I'll press on all the way.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
How many feel like pressing on? I had no time to throw in the towel. Just keep pressing. Amen. A little finger ache, little headache. Just keep pressing. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Still come to church. Okay, amen. Just keep pressing.
Praise God.
That's right.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Where, how do you want it, brother? Just right here? Okay.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Bella. Thank you, Zoe. And thank you, Sister Trudy. Amen. Appreciate God's gifts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's take up our offering and then we'll continue. Brother Wade, you want to help us take up our offering?
Get to the billfold better if
I stand up. Yeah, stand to your
feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, that you give us, and I pray that you sanctify this offering, Lord. Bless
yes,
those
Lord.
Those that have to give and those that do not, Father, just may it further your kingdom. Bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. And let's sing that page 487 in the spiral book. Just remain standing and... I'll never forget.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you saved me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
One more time.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. In the book is mine.
One more time.
Every promise in the book is mine, my, mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. We are of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. We are washed. We are sanctified. We are cleansed by His blood. Son, we are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one.
Jesus, I'll never forget.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
One more time.
Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget.
Just give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't forget what God's done for us. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many are ready for the word this afternoon? Amen. So let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. Let's have Brother Dale come and have Brother Royal, but let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Dale comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Then he'll do it. He'll take care of all of our needs. Bring us
to see you high and lifted up, shining in lovely glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in
God, may He open the eyes of our understanding and see Jesus Christ this afternoon as we once again talk about His Word. And I was talking to Brother Vernon the other day, and he sends greeting to all of you. Praise the Lord. Okay, this afternoon we're just going to have a Bible study. Is that okay?
Amen.
Just look at the Word of God and some quotations from the prophet, because I'm going to speak about strength fires.
Amen.
This afternoon, strength fires.
Amen.
Now, we don't need any strength fire.
Yeah, that's right.
Because yeah, we have the original fire with us today.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Amen. We will read from the book of Leviticus, chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. Verse 23 reads, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. Which, when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. We read, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them censers and put fire therein." It doesn't say where they got the fire, but they put fire therein. "And put in incense upon their own, and offered strange fire," Bible calls it strange fire, "before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out from the Lord, and devoured them, there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace." These are the words of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask once again that you come amongst us and give revelation, Father, and give sense to your word this afternoon, Lord, if you talk about it, and reach out to the needs of your needy congregation this afternoon. We want to thank you and give you praise forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May be seated. Hallelujah. So we find in Leviticus chapter 9, after this is the first time that they ever made a burnt sacrifice before the Lord, you know, in the tabernacle that they built in the wilderness. And when Moses and Aaron came out, they came out from the inner court, and they were blessing the people. As they were blessing the people, like kind of probably telling them, you know, go in peace. Yeah. The Lord has blessed us, yeah. And may the blessings of God be upon you. And as they were saying that, then fire, the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came fire out from before the Lord. Of course, they have already prepared the sacrifice prior to this on the altar. And when fire came before the Lord, it consumed upon the altar,
right,
the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw that, they shouted and fell on their faces.
Right.
We understand that God comes in the form of a pillar of fire.
Amen. Right.
God is a consuming fire.
Right. Amen.
And the reason it came in a supernatural way is to vindicate God's word.
Amen. Right.
And vindicate the man he's using.
Right.
In this case, Moses was the man he's using,
yeah,
and Aaron, his brother, was chosen to be the high priest.
Right.
Hallelujah. And so after they built the tabernacle and started offering their sacrifices, then came the pillar of fire and consumed. It's like God was pleased with their sacrifices and came down and ate and consumed their sacrifices. Hallelujah. But then in Leviticus chapter 10, the next verse that we read, there were two persons, Nadab and Abihu, and these were sons of Levi. You know, they were commissioned to do the priestly work, you know, to prepare the sacrifices and the altar and the tabernacle for worship. They were designated to do it. In Numbers chapter 3, we read verse 2 and 4. These are the names of the sons of Aaron. These are Aaron's sons. The very sons of the high priest. Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, and Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed. These people are anointed. Whom he consecrated to minister in the priest office.
Right.
And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai.
Right.
And they had no children, meaning that was the end of their genealogy.
Right. Amen.
That was the end of their race, this people. They were cut off from the face of the earth.
Right.
Hallelujah. Why? Because they offered strange fires. We don't need any strange fire amongst us. Because we have the original fire in our midst. You see, faith sees what God wants done with God's word. That's what faith does to you. God gives you faith, and faith, Brother Bram says, is a revelation. God gives you a revelation. He does not only give you the word, but he gives you a revelation of the word. And faith is a revelation. For you see, faith sees what God's wants done. Oh, I hope this goes in. But Mom says it. Faith doesn't look at the present time. Faith doesn't see this, but faith looks to see what God wants. And it works accordingly. That's what faith does. It sees what God wants and what God's wants then done. And faith operates through that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 48, fire from the altar saved the nation, saved Israel from the plague. There was a plague. Because people started raising up from amongst the congregation of Israel. And they begin to tell Moses and Aaron, you're lifting yourself up above the people. You're putting too much on yourselves. Because the congregation is now holy. We're all holy. We're all children of God. we don't have to listen to you, in other words. Hallelujah. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from the altar. Now this fire came from the altar. Aaron was instructed to get fire from the altar and put on incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath ground out, for the plague is begun. Now this happened. And the congregation of people that wanted to worship God, they're wanting to worship God, but they begin dying one by one.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what happened? Yeah. Because they were sympathizing with Dathan, Korah, and Abiram.
Right. Right.
You see, it's hard for me to comprehend that after God fully vindicated Moses, and Aaron, Moses to be a messenger for their the prophet for their day. And after he made the instructions, God made the instructions, you stay, the people that want to follow you, stay with you. And the ones that would like to follow Dathan and Korah and Abiram, you stay with your tents. And there was a separation made in the congregation of Israel. And God just, there was, the Bible says, the ground clave under them. There must have been a great earthquake. And the ground cracked. And there was a, the earth, the Bible said, swallowed the people. Abiram and Dathan. Dathan and Abiram and all the people that followed. That believed them.
Amen.
They were saying, you know, not only Moses can preach. They first came to the people that were respected in the congregation. People who were learned, who had wisdom, and they had influence in the people of Israel. 250 princes were swayed by them, and of course they're beginning to influence the other people into believing what they're saying.
Right.
You see, I believe God chose certain people to lead his people.
Amen.
God chose Israel. Chose Moses, I should say, to lead his people.
Right.
Out of Egypt and in the wilderness and into the promised land.
Right.
Hallelujah. So, thousands of people died already swallowed by the earth.
That's right, man.
But then, the next morning, if you read in your Bible, the next morning, people were sympathizing with the people that died. And saying, Moses killed these people. Moses, you killed the people of the Lord. You know, and they were murmuring, they were sympathizing. And that's when the plague struck the people. And people just started falling dead. Hallelujah. And so Moses gave the instruction to take fire from the altar and put it on the and put incense and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement. That is what saved the people. tens of thousands of people died because they sympathized with the wrong thing. Hallelujah. You see, real revival glorifies God and throws the people in submission to a vindicated leadership.
Amen. Right.
Yeah. This is the reason why fire comes down from heaven. To start a real revival.
Right.
What I mean by that is that to show that the message of the messenger was the truth.
Amen.
And that he has accepted their service, their ministry.
Right.
And that they have to come under the headship of this particular ministry.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Real revival glorifies God and throws the people in submission to a vindicated leadership.
Right.
1 Kings chapter 18, verse 37 to 39. This was the showdown on Mount Carmel.
Right.
Elijah prayed, "Hear me, O Lord.
Amen.
Hear me, that this people may know that thou art God and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, see the result. They fell down again. They fell down to their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." This is true revival.
Right.
Hallelujah. The ministry of Elijah brought real revival to the nation of Israel.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus. Okay, we understand that God manifests himself through a form of a fire.
Right.
Hallelujah. Moses met the burning bush.
Right.
Elijah and Ezekiel saw God in the form of fire. Paul met the same on the road to Damascus. And fire from God initially lit the altar of the tabernacle. You know, the same thing happened when the temple of Solomon was dedicated.
Right.
Hallelujah. The priests were commanded to keep the fire burning on the altar.
Amen.
It is a sign of God's perpetual presence.
Right.
Or the parousia, or the coming, to make his abode in the temple. God did not just come, he came to stay.
Right. Amen.
He came and abode in his temple. Hallelujah. Fire came down also from the upper room at the beginning of the church, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time they built something, built a place of worship for God and dedicated it, fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Oh, God always manifested himself by sending fire from heaven. Hallelujah. So, the mystical body, that's the church of Jesus Christ, the first believers on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered on the upper room. They were dedicating themselves. They were in one accord, amen, in one spirit. Then fire from heaven once again came, hallelujah, and divided itself amongst the believers. And tongues of fires stayed on each one of them, and they began to be filled with the Spirit and started speaking in tongues.
Amen.
We know that is true.
Amen.
God also lit the altar of the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 to 3. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. You see, when the tabernacle was built, fire came down. And then Solomon built the temple, then fire came down and consumed the sacrifices. And when all the children of Israel saw that the fire came down, the glory of the Lord upon the house, and they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good and his mercy endureth forever."
Amen.
You see, it produces the same result,
amen,
the same effect on the people. They bowed down, humbled themselves down, and recognized the power of Almighty God, the presence of God amongst them, and gave him praise and worship. Hallelujah. You see, that's why it's our priestly duty to keep the fire burning. So the priests were commanded to not let the fire from the altar go out. You see, that fire is not, it's no ordinary fire. It did not come from matches or man-made, man-made operation. Right. It did not come from butane gas. No, you know, the fire came down from heaven.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is supernatural fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. That's why this is the this is the commandment to the ministry, is to keep the fire burning, because the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, day, and the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of peace offerings, and the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. It's important that the fire in the altar don't go out. That's why it's the responsibility of the Levites, the priests, to keep the fire burning. Of course, you understand about the seven golden candlesticks. We call it candelabra, or the there's what's another name for it? You may, Brother Luis. The seven menorah, yes, menorah. Menorah was in the table of showbread, in the sanctuary of the tabernacle and the temple. You can see in the next illustration, the next slide, please. Not there. Oh, there it is. Okay, that's the candlestick. We read about it in Revelations 1, verse 12, and also in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. It's represented. fire comes from God, and there must be oil in the lamp, and it supplies oil to each and every branch, which causes the lamp, every lamp, there are seven of them, to be burning. So, of course, we understand that the seven golden candlesticks represent the seven church ages. Hallelujah. Here's what happened. Brother Branham says, they lit one lamp and then picked it up and lit the other lamp and then set it down and lit this lamp and then took it, lit this lamp with the same fire that they started it at the beginning. Are you getting it? The fire, the original fire that came down from heaven lit the altar. And from the altar, the high priest will take fire and light the first lamp. And then he picks up the second lamp and then lights it up again with the same fire that they started at the beginning. And Brother Bram said, oh, I hope it don't go over your head. Brother Bram is trying to show us something here. Amen. This is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Holy Ghost lit every one of those churches light down through the ages. Amen. When fire came down on the day of Pentecost, hallelujah, and that fire was never put out.
Amen.
It continues, amen, to burn throughout the seven church ages.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is burning still in our church age. Hallelujah. When Brother Branham died in an accident, the pillar of fire didn't die. It's still burning. It's still in the midst of the people. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't need no other fire. We don't need manufactured fire, man-made fire. That's a fake fire. That's strange fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need the one the original supernatural fire that came down from God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Notice, Brother Bam said, the same fire that burnt the oil there in Ephesus burnt it in Thyatira.
Right.
The same fire burnt there, burnt it in Pergamos. Burnt on down through to the through the Laodicean church age. Is this age we're living in?
Amen.
The same what? The same Holy Spirit lit by the same God, by the same fire, and the fire that fell on Pentecost has lit the candle and the church through every age right on down.
Yes.
Now, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I believe it. Hallelujah. The same pillar of fire has lit this church age. Hallelujah. Of course, Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 23 to 24 says that God is a consuming fire. Let me read it to you. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you and make you a graven image. Or the likeness of anything which the Lord God thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Even a jealous fire. God wants, God is asking for our full attention.
Amen.
For our full worship. Hallelujah. We are not to worship anything else but him. He is a jealous God too. He's a fire and he's a jealous God.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Consuming fire and he's jealous.
Amen.
Redemption by power. I'll read a quote. God gave them the pillar of fire to go before them. I think they had a picture here tonight. And I say it with reverence to my honest opinion. While we're here in this group tonight, I believe that this is with us tonight.
Amen.
This is Brother Bam speaking.
Right.
This picture of the pillar of fire is with us tonight. The same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel is going before us.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
I believe this with all my heart.
Right.
Performing the same signs and wonders. And any teacher here or scholar of the Bible knows that the angel that followed Israel guided them to the promised land.
Amen.
And was the angel of the covenant, which was Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. So, God, Brother Bram is slowly telling us the connection between the pillar of fire and this angel
right
now.
Right.
And God has provided a lamb. Paul recognized who the fire was, who that pillar of fire was. Just to see him standing there, great pillar of fire, he said,
yeah.
I come from God, I go to God.
Right.
He was the Logos that was with Moses in the wilderness.
Right.
Say amen to that.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He was the Logos that was with Moses in the wilderness, the pillar of fire. He died on Calvary, he was raised again. And when Saul was on his road to Damascus, that same pillar of fire struck him down. He said, who are you, Lord? You see, Paul was learned in the scriptures. And he knew very well that Lord Elohim appeared in a pillar of fire. And that's why when the pillar of fire met him on the road to Damascus, he fell from his horse and struck the ground and said, who are you, Lord?
Amen.
I mean, he doesn't know his name, but he called him Lord.
Amen.
It means Elohim.
Yeah.
I know you're God, but who are you?
Yeah. Right.
Of course, the answer was, I am Jesus.
Amen.
Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah. Now, there are people that come to tell us that Jehovah is a different person from Jesus. They're saying, the Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord is Jehovah and my Lord is Jesus.
Oh,
that's nonsense.
That's right.
To me, that's strange fire.
Amen.
I don't see it in the Bible. It's not in the message. It's strange fire. Hallelujah. Because Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New. Hallelujah. And when Paul asked that pillar of fire, who are you? He said, he answered, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Next slide. There's a picture of the pillar of fire. Over Brother Benham. And then describing this picture, the healing of Jairus' daughter, he said, but that camera won't take an optical illusion. The light really struck the lens. This is a scientific proof that the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, which is none other than Jesus Christ himself, has raised from the dead in the form of the Spirit and is with the church tonight, moving on with the same signs and wonders. I believe this with all my heart. Hallelujah. So he described how this photograph was taken. Six shots were taken of Brother Branham, and the six negatives turned out to be blank. But the seventh showed a picture of the halo of light over Brother Branham's head. It's the same pillar of fire, Brother Branham said, that led the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to the sons of Levi, Nadab and Abihu, getting killed by that pillar of fire. What was their sin? What was their sin? They only wanted to serve God. You know, burnt incense before the altar, and God killed them right there.
Right.
What was their sin? God did not command them to offer incense at this particular moment of special visitation.
Right.
There was no command.
Right.
They just did it upon themselves.
Right.
You know, and offered fire before the altar.
Right.
Also, they presumed it would be okay to offer incense since they were anointed to perform the duties of priests. They were supposed to be ministers in the Old Testament. Where ministers were supposed to do this, offer incense and fire upon the altar. They probably were moved by the overwhelming display of the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. They were calling attention to themselves.
Right.
In a time when everyone should be focused on what God is doing at the moment and should be worshiping and glorifying God. Amen. In any service, God should be the main focus. All attention should be given 100% to Him and Him alone. Hallelujah. Any distraction, hallelujah, is a sin. Any destruction is strange fire, should I say. They offered strange fire. Any form of fire apart from the one that originated from God cannot mingle with it. Strange fires are strange doctrines. Manufactured by men and that contaminate the power of God. You see, you can't be inventing your own doctrine and mixing it with what God has to bring to us in our age. Hallelujah. Outside of the message, I cannot take it. Outside of the Bible, I cannot take it. Hallelujah. Wildfires are the slightest distraction from worship. Any form of irreverence. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The slightest distraction from the worship of God.
Amen.
Like your cell phones can be a distraction.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Like your job can be a distraction.
Right.
Hallelujah. You know, you're willing to work overtime, but you sit in church sleeping through the service. That's strange fire, brother.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God doesn't want painted fire. He wants the real fire, the original fire that came from God. Brother Branham says, now you see, you're putting on something that isn't real. Now you cannot get warm by a painted fire. You're talking about the Pentecostal movement and it lingered on during his time. You cannot get warm by a painted fire like some of these churches trying to paint Pentecost or something that happened 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. You cannot get warm by a painted fire. Pentecost is just as real today as it was then. Hallelujah. How can you be contented with painted fire when there is true eternal fire that comes from God? I mean, still burning. Hallelujah. In the church of God today. Hallelujah. You cannot get warm by a painted fire. Pentecost is just as real today as it was then. See, the fire is still falling. It ain't a painted fire. It's real fire from God. Hallelujah. Strange fires are manufactured or man-made fires. These are historical or psychological or purely emotional revival. Strange fires is a safe, self-acclaimed ministry. It's a ministry that calls attention to self. You know, I wonder about these ministers that that have halos in their photographs and put them on websites. You know, just to make a claim that the same fire visited them. It better be the same fire. Amen. If not, it's strange fire. And if it's calling attention to one's ministry, to the person rather than the message, to the preacher rather than Jesus Christ, it's strange fire. False teachings mixed with a pure word or man-made interpretation. This is strange fire. Now we were commissioned in Revelation 10 to prophesy again, which means we can only prophesy or preach what has already been preached. We cannot add or take away from it. Hallelujah. We already have, thus saith the Lord. This is, strange fire is hypocritical godliness. Like what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They made the impression that they were all out in giving to the cause of the gospel. They were actually robbing the ministry. Think about it. And God had to kill them. Show an example. The third pool is not a public show. And the angel actually rebuked Brother Branham for being a showman. You know, first pool, he was trying to explain how the first pool operated. See these little bumps, I hold your hand, and I can see what's wrong with you. With the manner these bumps are moving in my hands. And he was trying to explain to the people. And second pool came, and he's saying, a scene appears before me, like on a screen. You know, and I see a woman becoming a little girl. And then he tells people how it happens, you know, that God was showing him. He was actually trying to explain everything. And the angel said, you explained the first pool, the second pool, you explained that. You cannot explain the third pool. There's no explaining the third pool. Hallelujah. And when, as he was preaching on the seventh seal, and Brother Branham sensed it, he said, I better stop. I sense that he wants me to stop right here. You cannot explain Revelation. Amen. The third pool is Christ in you. That's the greatest mystery. The third pole is Christ in the closet of your heart.
Amen.
That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Scribes and Pharisees are serving the Lord. They're claiming to be, to represent God. For ye are like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Right.
You think God doesn't see it?
Right.
God sees every hypocrisy, hypocritical action that we make. First Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning and the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart.
Glory.
See, God is interested in looking at that. What? The
right.
hidden man of the heart.
Right.
In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is great, also of great price.
Amen.
Quiet spirit.
Yeah.
Seems like American people are, it's so hard for them to identify with that.
Yeah.
But God will produce quiet spirit.
Amen.
In a person when that fire comes into you.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Hallelujah. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham rakes on the holiness groups. There, then we are going to come over to the Arminian side. He blasts the Calvinists and then he now comes to the Arminians and blasts the Arminians. What did they get? Works. That's the holiness groups. Works. Bless God, I let my hair grow out, the woman. And oh, praise God, I won't even wear a short sleeve skirt. The man will. And so forth like that. That has nothing to do with the kingdom. No, sir. You can let your hair grow long. You can wear dresses, whatever you want to. Or you can do this, that, or the other. It won't have nothing to do at all to do with it. You are not saved because of your clothes.
Right.
I want to read that again. You are not saved because of your clothes.
Yeah, right.
If so, God would just have made some patterns of such.
Yeah, right.
Get a pattern and pass it to the sisters.
Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking of the Amish people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
You talk about holiness and the manner of dressing and the lifestyle.
Yep.
And they were able to maintain this kind of lifestyle
right.
for hundreds of years.
Yep. That's right.
Yep. Hallelujah. God is not in it.
Yep.
It's not the works.
Right.
Hallelujah. These people cannot work you.
Right.
Hallelujah. Because they dress holy, they talk holy, the lifestyle is holy, don't even have electricity sitting inside the house.
Yeah.
Any form of entertainment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God is looking to that, well,
yeah.
I'll just join the Amish country.
Right.
Join the Mennonites.
Yeah.
But God doesn't look at that. He's looking at the heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus. God would just have made some patterns of such and Jesus wouldn't have to die. See? You're not saved because of the clothes you're wearing. You're saved because Jesus died for you. Hallelujah. And we only do these things, you know, let our air out, let our hair grow out, you sisters, because of appreciation. You are saved because that God saved you. By grace.
Amen.
And you do these things just in appreciation.
Right.
You don't do it to be saved, but you do it because you're saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Common decency will tell you that. You do those things in appreciation. Works is what I do for God.
Right.
And may God help us
Amen.
Not to take on this holier than thou attitude.
Right.
Because Brother Bram said, hear ye him. You say, I let my hair grow long, Brother Branham. I want to look like a Christian. Who doesn't? You all want to look like a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
But if that isn't coming from the inside, it will soon rub out again. It will never last.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It will rub out again. Certainly it will. You get that holier than thou art attitude. That is wrong. Oh, help us. But if the Spirit of Christ comes in and it will actually bring forth new life, then it's not nothing legally anymore. It's something that's in your heart that sprout forth these things. You'll get away from the walls of these modern Babylon buildings that's fixing to fall anyhow. But Abraham says, Arminianism. Holiness is correct as long as it stays in the Bible, holiness. I believe in holiness too. Brother Bram said, Bible, as long as it's Bible holiness, not your holiness, but His holiness.
Yeah.
See? And that is not my business. I'm not depending on my holiness. I have none.
Right.
No, the prophet of God said this. He had no holiness of himself.
Right.
I don't depend on my own holiness. I have none, but I'm wholly trusting in His holiness. Hallelujah. See, He's the one who did it. Not my works, but His finished works that I rest assured that I was received into the Beloved. And when the Beloved was received by God, then God received me in Christ.
Amen.
And that settles it.
Amen. Right. Thank you.
Amen. I thank God that I can rest in what He did 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The result of wildfire or strange fires is death. Next slide. Just like David organizing a great parade, religious parade, making a new car to carry the ark, and caused the death of a sincere believer.
Right.
Think about it. What did David do? He put together a nice mechanism, a nice machine with spools on it, and put the word on that machine. When it's supposed to be, the ark is supposed to be carried on staves.
Amen.
Amen. By on the shoulders of the fivefold or the priest, the fivefold ministry above the heart of the people. Should be carried by ministers.
Amen.
Not put in a machine with spools.
Amen.
Are you understanding me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. They might be sincere, but Brother Bob said, they're sincerely wrong.
Right.
Oh,
and by their acts, sincere believers can die. Like Uzzah was a sincere believer and God struck him dead. And don't worship out of posterity just for looks. God is not impressed by any form of performance. We don't try to entertain. Outward holiness means nothing to God. Matter of fact, He hates it. Hypocritical holiness, He hates it. It should come from the inside.
Amen.
Should be His holiness.
Amen.
Showing forth on the outside. Anytime one goes out of place and does God a service outside of the will of God, it's strange fire to God. God hates it. Denominational system is out of the will of God and has resulted in spiritual death. How many knows that? Hallelujah. Satan interpreted the word to Eve and the result was death. High breathing only produces death. Hallelujah. Herod forgot to give God the glory. The people thought that it was the voice of God speaking to them because he was a learned man. You know, he can speak nicely before the people. Let's read in Acts chapter 12, verse 21 to 23. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. He made a speech. Hallelujah. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not a man. And immediately, look what happened. Watch what happened. Immediately, the angel of God smote, of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He died right there and then. Next slide. The third pool is not a public show. And watch, he's always scriptural. He said, did not our Lord say, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites that like to make a show. Said, enter into the secret closet, and when you've done so, close the door and pray to your Father that seeth in secret, and he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Right.
He said, I will meet you in there. And this, at this time, it won't be a public show. This is what the angel of the Lord told Brother Branham. I will meet you in there, in that closet, in that wooden room.
Right.
Hallelujah. And this will not be a public show.
That's right.
It's not for entertainment.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Let's skip the scripture. We are not to misconstrue the messenger's message. Brother Bam said, now, we are in the evening time, and the messengers down through the age, we find out at the beginning when a messenger was sent to misconstrue his word or to doubt one word.
Right.
It means total annihilation and eternal separation from God. This is scary.
Amen.
Yeah. To misconstrue that messenger's word.
Amen. That's right.
That's why we need to be careful to only say what the tapes say.
Amen. Right.
Listen, may I say this right quick now? Even the visions that God gives me here at the place, it's so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me on the tape say only what the tapes say. Say what the visions say. And he said in church ages, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why light comes through the some given, God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, this spreads through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught.
Amen.
This is how God operates.
Right,
first, he speaks to the main man, and this messenger... Amen. Propagates the word to other people, other ministers who have been faithfully taught.
Amen. Right.
Pray for me because every month we do a training session at our ministers fellowship every first Tuesday of the month. And initially it was intended for young ministers that come up in our own assembly.
Sure.
But when I opened it up to other churches... Other ministers came. Ministers that are older than me. Ministers that are more senior than me came to learn about the message. Because Brother Bram said, you know, gather the ministers and train them in the message. That's what we need. Ministers that are trained in the message.
Right.
Not in Bible school.
Yeah. Right.
Not in man-made theology or psychology,
right.
But trained in the message. Hallelujah. But of course, those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken.
Amen.
It's important that we speak only what the messenger has already spoken.
That's right.
Because after preaching the seals for 8 days, this is what the prophet said.
Yep.
Now the vision plus the word plus the history plus the church ages. You think you're just reading a book or listening to a tape. Now, these are the vision plus the word plus history plus the church ages. And all blend together. So I could truly say that to the best of my understanding, according to the word of God and the vision and the revelation, the interpretation thereof is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, after preaching the whole series on the seals, he said everything, the vision and history, everything that is in this book is thus saith the Lord.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God forbid that we take away from it.
Amen.
Or add from it. Hallelujah.
Right.
No, in our country, people are afraid to evangelize with the message. I wonder why that was. But we have a special way of presenting the gospel of salvation.
Yeah. Right.
It's anointed. I'm telling you. It's anointed. And it affects the people that hears the word when we present it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, we started the Mystery Expo seminar. We go right to the leaders and invite them for a whole day to listen to the presentation of the word.
Amen.
And by God's grace, out of this, we have led close to 100 churches.
Yeah.
These are denominational churches, and these churches have now come to embrace the message, and they are now believing the message of the hour.
Glory.
Thank God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You pray for this effort.
Amen.
Because I've been constantly shot by other ministers.
Yeah.
Even in the message. You know, I get the people to come in the message, in this denomination, the new group, they forsake their old denominational ways and start preaching the message to them. But once I get the people to come in, the churches, they come in en masse as a whole church, they come in. Then here comes the other ministers trying to convince the new group of people to listen to them. They're not working for the same cause. They're actually working contrary, fighting the cause of God. They say that the seven seals were preached by Brother Branham, but there are other seven seals on the backside of the book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to go to them to know the revelation of these other seven seals.
Yeah.
That, to me, is strange fire.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. If it's there are more than one Lord, a strange fire to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you preach that you have two souls, a strange fire to me.
Yeah.
There's a group that teaches that the seven thunders are seven men, and you have to listen to this man in order for you to know when exactly the day, the time, and the hour that the Lord should come. Hallelujah. Strange fire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. What are these two things? One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. And it will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to our Pentecostal fathers.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The seven thunders. And then there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders, Brother Bram said. That's not even written at all.
Yes.
That's right. And I believe that through these seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith.
Amen?
Amen? You want to be in the rapture?
Amen.
You need rapturing faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You want to be healed?
Amen.
You need healing faith.
Amen.
That's what you need to be healed. You want to be saved?
Yeah.
All you need is saving faith.
Yes.
But if you want to be in the rapture, you need to have rapturing faith in you.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And this can only come to you through the seven thunders.
Yeah.
There's something we've got to step further.
Yeah.
We can't have enough faith for divine healing hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept out of this earth.
Yeah.
The seven thunders are not seven set of doctrines. I'm sorry. Seven thunders, seven is God's number of completion. And the breaking of the seven seals is God's complete revelation of himself.
Amen.
Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
The seventh seal is the mystery that contains all the mysteries in the Bible. It's an all-encompassing mystery. Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, then the mystery of God. One minister said, you see, Brother Rowell, it says mystery, not mysteries. He was telling me, you see, the mystery, the word mystery there, Revelation 10:7, speaks about the Godhead. He said that's the mystery that's been finished. When Brother Branham was here, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. But you see, when Brother Branham explained it, he explained it this way. In the next slide, Brother Branham says, and we realize in the scriptures over in Malachi 4, there is to be one like John, an Elijah to whom the word of God can come to, and he is to reveal by the Holy Spirit all the mysteries of God. He interpreted it in this way. He explained it to us in this way. Mystery of God's finished. Mystery, one single mystery. But Butterman said, all the mysteries of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
This is an all-encompassing mystery. Amen. All mysteries in the Bible are hidden in this great mystery.
Amen.
Of Revelation 10:7.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
This
Amen.
Is the open book.
Yes.
Hallelujah. John took from the hand of the angel, you see?
Yeah.
See, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
When people try to take it from the hand of the seventh angel, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You won't be able to understand the message, that open book. You need to get it from the hand of the mighty angel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if you think of it, even Brother Branham cannot give you a revelation.
Amen.
The person of Brother Branham cannot give you a revelation. Only Jesus Christ can give you a revelation of the open book. Hallelujah. To restore back all these mysteries that's been probed out through denominational years. Hallelujah. In the message Paradox, Brother Branham spoke about this man who said, that's after he spoke, he said that could be the 23rd chapter of Revelation. Let's look at it. After speaking on the seed, it's not here with the shop in Los Angeles, California. This man came up here, put his arms around me, and was going to say, he said, Brother Branham, not to be sacrilegious, but that could have made the 23rd chapter of Revelation.
Right.
Now, how many knows there's no 23rd chapter
right.
of Revelation? But this man was saying that can be added
right.
to the scriptures.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, another book added. Of course, he said, that wouldn't be right, of course, but we're not supposed to add anything to it. And just as he started to say that, he started speaking in tongues, and the boy didn't know about speaking in tongues, what it meant. And here's another incident here where somebody was trying to catch Brother Branham. Next slide. Even Brother Branham could not do it. He couldn't add to it or take away from the word. We're talking about the Bible now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Brother Branham considers the Bible as his absolute.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now many has been saying to me, and theologians said, Brother Branham, if the Lord God said, if with your experience that the Lord has given you for his people, humbly saying this, said, you would be eligible to write a Bible yourself, your word, if God has manifested. Hallelujah. Now they were saying, after observing Brother Branham's ministry, then you are eligible to write a Bible yourself.
Yeah.
I said, that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me. Brother Branham said, this guy was trying to catch me. I said, but you see, I couldn't do that.
Right.
What? I couldn't do that. I couldn't add to the word
right.
or take away from the word. I need to stay with the Bible. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. He said, why couldn't you? You have all the qualifications, Brother Branham. You have all the qualifications. You are qualified to write the Bible yourself. But I said, but you look, one word cannot be added or taken away. See? Brother Branham, the pillar of fire was upon him when he said this. Hallelujah. Brother Branham crossed all the wildfires. Hallelujah. It's a wrong thought. Next slide. This is the wrong thought. He said, well, them seven thunders, you see, said, wouldn't them be seven thunders blasting out? Wouldn't that be a revelation given to some man? This was the question. Brother Bam said, no, sir. It would be adding something or taking it or something away, taking something away from it. It's all revealed in there. Talking about the Bible, it's all in the Bible.
Right.
It's all revealed in there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's all revealed in there, and the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. And then it said, he stole the word. You see, you cannot get out of that word. It won't leave that word. And God's Spirit will never leave that word. It will stay right with the word, blinding some and open the eyes of others. It will always do that.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do we have the word?
Amen.
If we have the word, it will still do the same thing.
Amen.
Blind the eyes of some.
Yep.
Amen. And give revelation to the others. And give faith to the others.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And hybridizing will always produce death.
Yep.
Next slide. And when the church today that's called themselves Pentecostal, called themselves Baptist, and whatever they want to, when they hybrid this word with dogma, it produces a dead child. And she cannot have no life in her. She's dead. And her children is dead. God said, I'll throw her in a bed of worldliness and kill her children. God said so in Revelation. How many knows that's true? Because a hybrid person or a hybrid thing is a confused creature. Next slide. Anything hybrid is off the real main beaten road. We ought to have a little time to talk on the original seed. See where it comes from. Hybrid don't know where it belongs. It don't know who his papa was, who his mama was, or nothing. No, he don't know. He has no pedigree. He can't have a pedigree. He can never breed himself back. That's why a Catholic will produce Catholic converts. And a Baptist person can produce Baptist people.
Yep.
Pentecostal followers will produce Pentecostal people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the Word of God will always produce sons and daughters
Amen.
Of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Not a hybrid, but an original gene that comes from God, sons and daughters of God, manifested on this earth, in this age. This is the last slide. Hybrid people cannot breed themselves back.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's what the matter with the churches today. They cannot breed themselves back.
Yeah.
They are a hybrid. They don't know whether they belong to God or some denomination.
Right.
Only thing that they can produce is a member.
Yeah.
Not a Christian. I believe. Maybe I ought not to have said that, but it's already said. That's right. He don't know what he belongs to. He just knows that he's a Methodist, Baptist, or Pentecostal. That's all he knows. What about some message believers? Some message believers, that's the only thing they know, is they're part of the message movement. I'm a message believer. I'm part of the bride. That's all you know. If that's all you know, That's a hybrid religion.
Amen.
All right. It becomes just another brand.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Hallelujah. You need to have the real experience.
Amen.
The real fire.
Amen.
Coming upon your soul. Hallelujah. And quickening that word into your heart. To make you understand and clearly see what God intends for us to do. The message came to give us rapturing faith. To make us all ready for the rapture. Let us be certain. Let us know that we stick by it. And not be trying to add our own concept, our own interpretation, our own tangents to the word. But let's stick to the word. What the messenger has given us in our age. Because this is the only hope for the rapture. You can have the rapture. You can have rapturing faith by going to a Baptist church. Or by listening to a Catholic theology. Rapturing faith is in those tapes. It's in the message of the hour. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. We don't want any strange fire. Behind this pulpit, we don't want any strange fire. We want the real fire that comes from God. And it's still here. It's still burning. God has still anointed people. Minister to preach the true anointed word of the hour. The word and the fullness of the word and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you.
You say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give our brother a good hand.
Amen.
Let's tell him how much you appreciate his messages and what he stands for and to try to not have no hybrid religion. But we don't need that. We need the genuine, don't we? Let's all stand together, go right into our communion. First Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken in for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, I love this part of the scripture. But when we are judged, see, even if we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. Let's just have a moment of silent prayer as we're remembered to pray one for another and taking that little time to remember each other and to, Lord, let the Lord just be with all of us. Amen.